We're about to begin Perek Yud Beis in Negoyim, Mishnayis Aleph and Beis. And Perek Yud Beis is the first of two prokim that deals with Nigei Botim, with the leprosy of houses. Before we begin, I just want to go back for a touch on the last mission that we did for a second. I want to point out that the end of prokim in the big Mishnayis Yochin, Boaz Mishnayis, and other good large sets of Mishnayis, you have at the end of each perek something called Hichlusa Gevirta, and it has Mishnah by Mishnah, the halachas that are derived from each Mishnah. So the last Mishnah we had said Beged Hamusker Shnesori Biacherim Kulin Tahorim. So the Hichlusa Gevirta mentions Mishnah Yud Beis Beged Musker Shnesori B'Tohor, and he says the following. It's very important. That's why I went back now. Afilu chad b'chad. Even if it's not butl b'rov, it's not a matter of beetle as we thought at one point, but it was not a matter of beetle, just the point that something that's not mugzuk b'tum, even though we say that hezger is considered, musker is considered tamei, insofar that pisoyon can come out of it. Pisoyon always has to come from tuma, but nevertheless, The hezger is not muksuk bitum, it can always change. So it's not, so in Sofek, there's no chazoka to say that it's tamei. So if you look chad b'chad, even one garment that was, remember the garment with the negoyim was painted over, so you couldn't tell that it had a neg on it. It's the same color as the other garment. So b'chad b'taruvis tohor midlo hukzuk l'tuma adayin. And then he goes on to explain the other din where you had something that was musker and it was chopped up less than gimelet's bos by gimelet's bos, so it's no longer tomei. So he says, ubeniktsas afilu lematlonios bechusos begimelet's bos, in little patches that are less than 3 tefachim, afilu mu'uros bekitzvoseihem, even if they're mixed up by their strands. They're sort of wrapped up in strands or tangled. They're entangled in their strands, yachad, all together. Shemekabel tumah lahabo. In other words, if it's like a felt, where there's a mix, where it's pressed or tangled, entangled together, and it is a material, it lahabo it will be mekabel tumah. But since now they were first cut into pieces that were, each one was less than 3 etzbos before they got entangled. So nisbatil mehem tuma demikora, the tuma left them. That's what I wanted to do, that piece in the Hilchusa Gevirta. Now Perek Yud Beis Mishnah Aleph kol habotim mitamim b'negoyim chutz, and now there'll be several things chutz. But the first thing, chutz, is kol abati mitamim b'negoyim, all houses become tomi, can become tomi b'negoyim, chutz mishul oved kochavim. Halokeach bati min oved kochavim, yeru'u b'tchilo. Someone who buys a house from oved kochavim, so the kohen comes for, and there's nega in that house, the kohen comes to look at it for his first glance. Now, first of all, the Rav starts kol abatim. The Rav tells us v'dafka be'eretz Yisrael, the base eretz achuzasachem k'siv. It says the house that's in your inheritance, meaning eretz Yisrael. Chus mishulakum imkono bayis be'eretz Yisrael. If he bought a house in eretz Yisrael, because we're talking about only houses that mekabel negoyim are houses in eretz Yisrael. The hochi mashma chuzasachem mitam b'negoyim, being a chuzis ha'akum mitam b'negoyim. So what you own in Eretz Yisrael is mitam b'negoyim, but a goy owns in Eretz Yisrael is not mitam b'negoyim. So he learns a gezeiras hakosuv over here. Ukashem shina chuzasa mitam b'negoyim, kach bigdayim begufam ein mitam b'negoyim. So here the Rav is seeing the dinim that we've had before, that the guf of an akum is not mitami ben negoyim, and that the beged of an akum is not mitami ben negoyim. So the Rav says it all stems out from this halach, from this pasuk over here, by nigei batim, that Achuzaschem etame bin the goyim. Again, it says a base eretz achuzaschem. Achuzaschem etame bin the goyim. Your achuza is metame bin the goyim. Your inheritance, your possession. Bein achuzes so akum metame bin the goyim. Ukeshem shin achuzosem metame bin the goyim. Kach bigdehem, so too their begodim and their bodies are not metame bin the goyim. The only difference was that by their bodies, if you have a goy who had a heres, and then he was misgayer, so that beheres can never ever again become with tumis besar of, if it's the same color as it was before that we had. However, a nega in the beged of an akum, or in the house of an akum, once that house is transferred over to the Jew, that nega is the same as before. The fact that it belonged to an akum doesn't take away the fact that it still has a shame nega to it. When it was in the body of the akum, since it was tohar completely, it had no shame nega. It was there's no shame nega on the body of an akum. So when that beheres is transferred over, it becomes a Jew. It's like he's born anew. Nevertheless, because that beheres had a shame tara to it beforehand, it was a beheres tahor, it couldn't metame anything, so it also is now when he converts. However, the house, it's not and the property of the goy is not like the body of the goy, where that nega has a shame tahor. It didn't have a shame tahor. It never had a shechis of the goyim, because it belonged to only because it belonged to a goyim. Only the din of rishus of domain prevented it from being a nega. But once the domain is transferred, now that prevention is removed, and it can become a nega. So the Rav says over here, and remember the Tosfos Yom Tov asked this earlier. V'hayomim shohayot behem hanega kol zman shoyu biyad oidei chovim einam olin him min ha-cheshbin. So the earlier on in the case of the beged, that the previous days don't count for the minyan, is what minyan? It says the beged or the house isn't going to become tummy. It's dependent upon the kohen. The kohen has to come and see the house. So, or he has to come and see the beged. So the moment the kohen comes and paskins that the beged is tummy, or the house is mazgir the house, is mazgir the beged, that's when the count begins. There's no count before that. That's the kasha of the Tosfos Tosfos Yom Tov Zeir Ebet Chila. Again, he said Tosfos Yom Tov refers this to what he explained earlier in the last perek by Nigei Begodim. So the house of an Ovi Chachavim, Halokeik Botim Ovi Chachavim, Yiru Betchila. The Kohen looks at it, and then he's masgirit, or he's machlit, whatever din is. Yiru Betchila, Bayis Ogo, a round house, Shein Bo Zavios, which has no corners. Bayis Trigon, a house which has three corners. You know what? Let me just skip to a Rav. The Rav explains that anything that doesn't have four corners, that's less than four corners, more than four corners, is not mitami b'nigei botim. The Gabi Negoim Ksiv, it says by Negoim, Kiros, 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 Shteip Amin. It says the word Kiros, walls. So Kiros, the minimum of walls in walls is two. It says two walls, twice, Kiros, Kiros, that's four walls. So to be susceptible to Nige Botim, a house has to have four walls, not more, not less. So a Bayis Ogel, a round house, which has no corners, or a Bayis Trigon, which has three walls, a bias aboni b'sfina, then also a bias is a separate, now another halacha, that it says that the ksiv base eretz, base eretz achuzasachem, base eretz, actually a bias mechul b'boretz. until the house is attached to the land. So, bayis habonoi b'sfina, a house is built on a boat, or by askaria. By askaria, the Rav brings down two explanations. One, the first, utorin, that's the mast of a ship. So initially I thought perhaps the mast, they had a little on a huge mast, they built a sort of a little enclosure for the watchman. But the Tosfos Yom Tov brings down a Rashi that explains that it's referring to the boat itself. The boat itself has apartments in it. It has four-cornered rooms in it. But the boat itself is called an Iskaria, that Rashi explained in the Gemara somewhere. Klomer b'sfina gedolu sheish bo Iskaria. The Korah lo hachi al shem Iskaria shebo. And the ship is called the Iskaria because of its mast. So the Iskaria, it means a mast, means a mast, but it's a type of a very large ship that has a mast. That's how the Tosfos Yom Tov learns in Rashi. He brings down a Rambam that learns Iskaria al Arbakuros, that Iskaria goes on the next thing on Arbakuros, that it's a type of a structure that's built off the ground on poles. So, and the Rav had a different meaning. Gorsim, Ish Gorsim, Aksadia, Behain Kuros, so Aksadia, instead of Ekskaria. Aksadia is a raft. He says these are poles, or logs, Shikoshrim Biyaka, they tie them all together, or Malikin Osam Binaro Subiyam, and they float them on rivers or on the sea. Ublushon Mikra Kruyin Rav Sudos, they're called Rav Sudos. There's a rav like this in the Mishnah in Brachos also, Mesechus Brachos. So they're called Rav Sudo. So it's a raft, I guess, with a house enclosure, a dwelling on it. And if there's if there's Negoyim there, it's not considered a Tamei. So again, all these things that don't have base ogle based trigon. And even more than four walls, because it's kiros. The Rav says it earlier by trigon. Two walls or five walls. Anything that's less than four walls or more than four walls is not mitami bin negoyim. So if it's not built on the ground, ain't a mitami bin negoyim. So again, Aksadra. The Rambam has again. Where the Tosfos Yom Tov brings down the Rambam, Askaria al Arbakuros. The most Mefarshim simply learn Askaria period, like the Rav, or semicolon or comma, and then al Arbakuros. If it's built on four beams, so Eino Mitami bin Negoyim. Now, Vimhoye Meruba, if it was square, Afilu Arbo Amudim Mitami. Even if it was built on four columns, on four pillars, it's mitami. Here, the words amud as opposed to koros. So the Tosfos Yom Tov brings down a Rash, and he says the Rash makes a distinction. It might be not, maybe be a distinction between that other Mishonim might argue on this. I'm sorry, he brings down not the Rash. He brings down the Maram Rebutenberg. The Maram is Meforesh that. For him to do what he says in terms of the Rav, he said earlier we shown him explain kmo al dalid kuros kmo o al dalid kuros shohoya bayis bonoi al gebi kuros. For instance, if you had a house that had and I think here we're learning, normally you speak about a kura in a house. In Gemara, it usually speaks about a horizontal beam. So if you had beams coming out from the, let's say, the attic. You had beams coming out of the attic, so these and then you built a house on the patio with these horizontal beams. So that's the Arbakuros. The Maharam that the Tosfos Yom Tov brings down learns that it's vertical beams, but he makes a distinction. He says Maharam Pirish, the Koros Sainu Shehem Rechavim. ruim lamod below an isa bekarka. And this is why I think that the other Rishonim disagree with the Maharam. The Maharam makes the following distinction. He says to be considered a house built on the ground, it actually has to have part of its structure in the ground. In the ground. It has to be no'otz bekarka. These are big, big poles, so they don't require it to be stuck into the ground to build the house on top of them. So they're just resting on the ground. Whereas later where it says, it was square even on four amudim. So the Maharam learns these amudim are inserted into the ground. So again, I think that's the machlokos we're showing them. The Maharam Shita is unique Shita. I think most of the kuros are horizontal beams, and you built them on a floor off the ground, a new structure off the ground, like extension from an aliyah. And arba amudim, we had a square house built on columns, even if they're not stuck into the ground, but they're resting on the ground, it's attached to the ground, mitame. And that's the end of Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Beis. Bayis she'echad mitzdodov mechupe b'shayish. Let me preface this Mishnah, excuse me, but allow me to preface this Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah says, Ein habayis mitami b'negoim. A bayis is not mitami b'negoim an shehebo avonim be'etzim b'yofer. It has to have three things. It has to have stone, wood, and dirt. And Rav brings down over there the ksiv, es avona v'es etzo v'es kol afar abayis. That's those three components. Stone, wood, and dirt. Now the Mishnah begins, bayis she'eno she'echad mitzdodov mechupe b'shayish echad b'sela v'echad b'levenim v'echad b'yofer tohor. Now simply based on the end of the Mishnah, you can that it doesn't have all three components. It has two rock components, and the levenim is not mekabel tumis negoim. Levenim are bricks that are baked in a kiln. In a kiln, the yechad b'yofer, we're missing eitzim. But the Tiferes Yisrael says, v'hari shayish ein arui l'nega. Shayish is not really negative. V'kevin shekosel echad ein arui l'nega. But it's not just one, because levenim not. Gam hakosel shebiyoso bayish arui l'nega ein makamatu b'negoim. Now he asks in the Boaz, his super commentary, he says that kach kosav arav arash v'arav. So apparently there are two halachas in the Mishnah. One is that you need all three things, but even in the event that one wall is not mekabel to misnagoyim, none of the walls are. V'nei lo pershin. So He quotes the Rav and the Rashi, what he stated, that Shayish is not Rui Lenega. And he wonders why. He says, V'hinei lo pirshalom rabbasin, loma Shayish in a Rui Lenega. V'ari Evan, who marble is a stone, marble quarries. V'chein Evan Rui Lenega. I'm sorry, V'chol Evan Rui Lenega. So he says, the Rush, Kosav Mili Yaseira, the Rush in his commentary adds an extra word, Mili Yaseira, V'zilah Shonom. The Shayish ain't real of Obo Nega. Shayish isn't fit to have a Nega. Uchimeduma Kavonas Rabbeinu Bemilis Lovo. That Shayish is not Lovo Bo Nega. That marble is very smooth, and as a result, it's not prone to getting a Nega. Not that it's potter from the tumah of Negoyim, but it's because of its nature. It's the Gemara speaks very often about a person wanting to have a type of operation. They went into a room that's shayish, that is made of marble, which is very clean and very pure and very smooth, and doesn't you know, so it's sanitary. As a result, it's not prone to tumis negoyim. So that's the pshat, perhaps in the Rash and in the Rav. Now, so bayis echad she'echad mitzvot of mechupa is covered over b'shayish, or echad b'sela, v'echad b'levenim, v'echad b'yofer is tohar. So let me read the Ravs. So echad mirab kisolov mechupa is covered b'shayish, marmoz, marble. Besela tsur shehi shami shishmi breshis. That's regular rock, a rock that was there from ice breshis. You know, a rock that was you know, regular rock. It's not an igneous stone, which comes later from volcanoes. Bilavanim asuyim bekivshin are made in a kiln, and beyofer shakosil also megusha yofer. Maybe like an adobe house, where the or a mud house, where one of the walls is made from clumps of earth or mud, and that are clumped together. So tohor the buinin shihu arbo kiros abayis ruuyin latame bin negoyim im echemin akiros osui bedover shenui latame kegon kol hani diaminin abayis tohor. Now why the Rav says that the asela that's there for ma'is abreishis, I think you know what he might. I think what he means is that he didn't build the house with stones, but the wall there was a stone that was there since Mais Abreishis. In other words, he attached the other three walls of the house to an ancient stone, to a stone that was already there, to a mountain, let's say the side of a mountain, or a stone that was protruding from the earth for since Mais Abreishis. So since he didn't build the house with this stone, but rather that he used a stone from Mais Abreishis that was already existing as a wall, so that's not mekabel to misnegoyim, even though the language is mechup, it's covered over with this stone. I guess maybe because it's next to it. V'yechad b'levenim v'yechad b'yofer tohar. So I guess he holds also that just a plain a dirt wall is not mekabel neguim tohar. Because each one of these things, if any one of the walls is made like this, then it's pater from tumis neguim. Bayish yibo avonim ve'etsim v'yofer v'nira bo nega. Now the end of the Mishnah, which I already read at the beginning, says that a bayis is not mitami ben negoyim, ashbavonim v'yetsim v'yofer. So really, the chiddush of the at the beginning of the Mishnah isn't really necessary, because in that chiddush, the house the chiddush over there is even if the other walls, if the other three walls are composed of dirt and eitz and Evan, if any one of the walls is composed of something that's not Mekabel Tuma, or is not prone to Mekabel Tuma, it's not going to get a nega on it, like the way the Rush explains in Shayish, then the house is not Mekabel Tuma also, even though the other three walls have those three components. So Bayish Shaloha Yubu Avonim Ve'etzim V'Ofer, there weren't those three things there. V'nira Bo Nega, and there's a nega now in the house, as the Sefer says, without those three things, it's not prone to tumis negoyim. And then they built the walls of the house up with the avonim eitzim biyofor around the previous walls. They put walls of avonim eitzim biyofor, and the nega is in the previous walls. If there was a beged where they hadn't yet woven three etzbos or three etzbos, v'nira bo nega, and a nega appears, v'yachach orag bo shulosh shulosh. So for a moment, in this parak we have another reference to big nigi begodim, a halach of nigi begodim, it's tohar. In other words, if the house, the nega first appeared when the house was not susceptible to tumis negoyim, and later the other ingredients were added to make it susceptible. If a beged was too small, it didn't have gimlet bows, and then had a gris of dandam and yirakrak, then it's extended that it is gimlet bows, since the simon of the nega, the Adam Mirakruk, first appeared when the Begid was not susceptible, it's still not susceptible. So Tohar, that Begid is Tohar, and the house where the other components that are necessary for Tumas Neguim were added afterwards are coming only after the Nega first appears, is Tohar. And the Mishnah ends, in Abayis Mitame Ben Negoim, the house is not Mitame Ben Negoim, Achiebo Avonim v'etzim v'ofer, until it has stones and wood and dirt. And that's the end of Mishnah Beis.